Someone's put that in the comments because there's no way you'd know that.
It's certainly true.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Q&A day, which is Monday. Monday, James.
Hello.
Monday. Whoa. You came across very loud there, but you're not going to shout like that through the whole episode.
So. I promise not to.
Right, where are we? Right.
Do you want to start again?
February 15th is where we are, James, day after Valentine's Day. Pete says, in reference to you talking about Bruno Lage and which of his fullbacks he was going to be using and when he was going to use them when, he wants to know when you recommend using Johnny, James.
Always use a Johnny.
Gary Shepherd wants to know, following on from that, if you have players that blank, does Johnny provide good cover?
Yep, Johnny provides good cover.
Right, Jamie, would you ever let your boys take an insert player's name, you're my favourite player, can I have your shirt sign to a game?
Your kids are more the right age for that.
They don't give a shit, mate, to be honest with you.
The thing is, where you sit, there's no point in the kids holding up the sign.
Upper tier, mate. I don't think I would. I just couldn't be asked to carry the fucking thing.
No, I would be like, no, we don't do this. It's not for me, no. It's like someone did it and now it's like an on-trend thing and it's like, no. But I guess at the same time, it's nice for the kids to be arty and stuff and make the sign and all that. But who's got to carry it? It's probably not them, is it?
No. I'd let them take a GSB out sign. Would you let them take a Levy out sign?
No signs in football grounds. The only thing is acceptable to take into a football ground that is not part of yourself is a flag.
Jarvo, would you lie half the time and get everything you wanted in life, or tell the truth and only get half of what you wanted in life? Just tell the truth, man. There's no joy in duping people.
Why not?
There's no joy in it.
Yeah, there is sometimes.
Nah.
You get no joy in duping someone or pretending something or...
Like, if it's a surprise and you're lying to keep a surprise, sure, but bullshit.
So, last week, you took the missus to Pizza Express.
Pizza Express, and
the old holiday thing was a bit of a...
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you weren't telling the truth, were you?
But that's to keep a surprise where there's something positive outcome. Lying to bullshit someone's different. It's like diving, isn't it?
Generally speaking, yeah, tell the truth, but yeah. I'm not as 100% on that as you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get everything you want.
FPL Dougal, since nearly... I mean, what do you want? A title for Spurs? If you'd bullshit your way if you could get a title.
Mate, exactly. I would do anything. I would sell her and everything.
Since nearly every man and his dog has owned Salah this season, says Dougal, do you think he should receive a massive price hike to make things a bit more interesting next season?
Yeah.
15.5, 16 million. FPL won't do it, but... No. It won't be a foregone conclusion.
No, I think it's possible that it might be 14. He definitely won't be higher than that. I think it's more likely he'll be 13. The thing is, they want players to have the player.
Mm.
He's the best player in the league at the moment. They want people to be able to engage and to be able to have him. So he'll probably just be like 13 or something again.
Mm. Auto Reclose, if Jeepers Keepers existed in FPL, you might need to explain that chip to some who don't know about it. Who would you pick? Assume they're all up against a mid-table Premier League team. What's Jeepers Keepers, mate?
So Jeepers Keepers, I used this chip in Gaffer, not this week, just gone the one before, where it was a little double, with the Coventry goalkeeper Moore and the Sheffield United goalkeeper Fodrenham. And I got, I think it was 53 points out of the two of them. He had like 1 point for every save and shit as well. And it's like double for clean sheet and stuff like that. Yeah, it's an amazing little chip, actually. Who would you use it on in the Premier League?
Mendy.
No, you'd want one Joseph who racks up Saul? The saves like that. Even Meslier would be like the sort of one maybe you'd.
Dubravka.
You'd put Hugo would be up there, I think.
Pulled off one worldie on the weekend. His left hand.
I mean, we talked about it Wednesday. It was a
good save.
He was at fault for the equalising goal, the first one. But the save from Gundogan was top draw.
Very good. Okay, keeping on the keeper theme, Mark Dorney says Saar, Pope or Martinez? Probably.
Sorry, Saar, Pope and Martinez in relation to what, just buy or what?
Literally, that's all it says.
Saar, Pope and Martinez. Saar.
Gary Robinson. Serge, if you employed someone with as many excuses not to work as Edinson Cavani.
Wow, I thought that was going to say me.
What would you do? HR attendance plan or just delete his number and delete him off the rota? I know what I'd like to do, which is definitely the latter. Did you know you can like, if people are off sick too much, you can still fire them. There's no like law that says you can't fire someone for being
What's
sick
the entitlement
too much.
For sick days?
Here?
Yeah.
Or in the world? Like, as in the government rules or
government rules, yeah.
Government rules is nothing. You get statutory sick pay. It's about £27 a week.
No, but aren't people in... So tell the listener how many sick days I've taken since I worked for you.
I don't know. I'm what? Not HR, am I? How do I know?
When have you ever had the day where you go, I wonder where James is today?
You've been here so long. I don't know. 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know.
None. So I wouldn't have a clue what the sick day working rules are. Don't you get like 15 days or something like
nah.
that? I don't know.
You're talking about holiday allowance, bro. You get 4 days because the UK average is 3.5 sick days per year. So we round it up to 4.
So you get 4 days sick pay a year. Didn't it used to be massive? Like 15 days or something? No?
No. You're imagining things.
Maybe. I just don't know.
Why does Cavani not want to work? I mean, they made such a big song and dance last summer about keeping him for another year.
Yeah, mate, he went into training Thursday. He saw the weather forecast for Sunday and went, nah, sod that.
Nah, yeah. Harbour Boy, have you ever seen so much double game week fever as in the lead up to 26? So many bold and different tactics being employed.
Love it.
So many hits and chips. This is the 19th. What's the date today, mate?
21st.
So this is Saturday after the deadline. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, listen, it's absolutely brilliant to see so many people doing different things. As I said to the guys who joined in on my stream Friday night, like I had no idea what I was doing, genuinely didn't, because I felt it was more important to look through it and set people up. Then obviously when I looked at it, I was like, okay, well, let's look through Twitter as well. Everyone's wildcarding. And you know me, I doubled down at that point, then I'm like, no, I ain't doing that then.
Yeah, I didn't have the time to think about it properly, so just left it, but... it's good because there's so many double game weeks in a short period of time.
I think
as opposed to one or two big doubles, which means that everybody does the same thing.
I was DMing with Andy from Let's Talk last week, primarily talking about the potential for doubles and stuff like that. And then the geezer did give me a shout out on his YouTube vid, in fairness, and I found loads of new Arabic followers and stuff. Yeah, go correlate. But I was saying to him that the problem for most people is that they see the first problem and they have to deal with the first problem. And I think that's nobody who wildcard is necessarily wrong in the week that's gone. For many people, it's the right decision. Like I thought, when I heard the doubles, I thought, oh, this might be right for you, for example, Serge. But there is a lot of that. This is the first problem, I'll deal with the first problem. And if there's problems further down the line, then shit, I can't do anything about it.
John Jacob, Haaland is finally off in the summer, looks like, because Dortmund are signing Adeyemi from Salzburg. Which Premier League style of club style of football suits Haaland? All of them. You're playing whatever.
Yeah, but by a distance, I'd say Liverpool.
Does he score 30-plus for any of the top four? All of them?
That's also Liverpool's the club he's least likely to join, I would say. Haaland.
All of them.
Yeah. It's difficult with him because he's got attributes where he's kind of really good at everything, from pace, aerially, finishing, link, everything. It's difficult to foresee in any setup that it wouldn't work for him. I mean, if he went to Chelsea and failed, for example, then I just think Chelsea should just play without forwards for forever, basically.
This is a question from Finton. You've got to pick one, James. Who would you rather have in the Spurs midfield between now and the end of the season? Pierre-Emile Højbjerg or Joe Linton?
What a good question. To be honest, I'd already prepped in my mind to say Højbjerg, but I didn't know where that was going. Joe Linton.
Yeah, I agree. John Jaco.
Pierre was great, by the way, on Saturday. I mean, nobody particularly played badly for Tottenham.
John Jaco and Stian are asking, what was better, Leicester or City? The win.
Leicester.
Because?
Because that will never happen again. The ending of the game.
Yeah.
Never had. That's incredible. You have to remember as well, in the Man City game, we were never losing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the Leicester game, we were losing with 8 seconds to go.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So that will never happen again. Will one day we win at Man City again? Yeah. Will we ever win there again in that circumstance? No.
Maybe.
I'll talk about it more on Tottenham because I know a lot of people are going to be, what was my reaction when the third goal went in? Spoiler, I didn't celebrate.
The first goal?
The third goal.
Oh, the third goal. Yeah, he was onside.
I talk about it on Tottenham. I save it because it's a good little story.
Definitely onside. I've just lost all the questions, James.
Okay, maybe I'll tell the story now then.
It's fine, I've got them back. Honeymoon over for Steven Gerrard at Villa. What's gone wrong? That's Dan L's question.
Maybe we just overrated them. Possibly. I think that they've made, over the last 8-9 months, signings throughout the team that have been exciting. In fact, even go back further to say, like, obviously, Emi Martinez, all through the team, they've made upgrades, they've made signings that have been exciting. The team is basically new, bar McGinn, Konsa and Mings. It's basically a new team over the course of the three-year cycle or so. So I think new signings bring excitement. I think they started quite well. The tempo of their play looked like it was quite high. In terms of why has it gone wrong, the honest answer I can only give you is I haven't seen enough of Villa over the last month or so to give you an accurate reason of why that's fallen down, because having watched them against United, I think was the last time I watched Villa, could definitely see it was going to work with Coutinho slotting in there. It looked like it was going to make Buendia better. You had Luka Dean in. It just looked like, suddenly you'd look at it and go, do you know what? They could make a late push for Europe even, maybe. So I need to analyse why it's not right. In terms of honeymoon period, yeah. Yeah, definitely over. It doesn't mean Steven Gerrard's a bad manager or anything. But for some reason at the moment, it's not working. I think the people inside Villa at the moment will probably tell you that they badly now need a new holding midfield player.
We've got a question from Dylan F. What's your favourite and least favourite grounds that you have visited in the UK? I'm going to let you answer that. You've been to lots. I've not been to many.
See, the thing is with this is you do get an influence by where you've had good days and where you've had bad days, right?
Mm.
So the best place to go in this country is Spurs. It now is. Favourite place, love going to Villa Park. Said that a number of times. You get a designated away pub right near the ground. There's good crack and stuff. Good view on the side at Villa Park. Worst is Palace. Palace is fucking atrocious. You can't see shit. It's really bad. I think since I last went, they've started cutting off the first few rows of the Arthur Waite stand, so it might be a little bit better now. But yeah, Palace is, I don't know how that away end at Palace passes a health and safety certificate. It's not right. There's too many people in there for the space.
Dylan also asks, in your opinion, how many games do you think should be considered to judge a player's form? For me, form is something that should be judged over 50 to 70 games, as that negates variance. But that's like over a season. That's nearly 2 seasons. You can't judge a player's form on 2 seasons.
To be honest, over 50, 70 games, we're talking about consistency. We're not talking about form.
Yeah, it's very different.
What would you look at then? If you were judging Harry Kane over the last 50, 70 games, what would you say?
Exactly, that's the thing, right?
I mean, the point is, if you went back 70 games, you'd go, and we'll be going back to like the start of last season under Mourinho and stuff, and you go, oh my God, Harry Kane's incredible. Then there was obviously the late end of last season, but primarily obviously the start of this season. Mm. People go, and you could include the Euros. People say, oh, he's not at it, yada, yada, yada. Now people would say, he's back on it. He's back to his peak. But that's only over the last 6 to 8 games or so.
Yeah, I think somewhere between 10 and 15 is reasonable.
I think, to be honest, if you have a striker that doesn't score in 10 games and then suddenly they get 4 and 3, they're in form. So there isn't an exact science or equation to kind of define form, but I think we have 50 to 70 games. It's not form, that's consistency.
Clean sheet wipeout. Matt, could this season be one of the tightest relegation battles we've seen in years? Just when we think there's a gap appearing, two of those teams bag a vital 3 points. I think so.
I reckon we say this in February every year.
Okay, interesting.
Someone remind me of that next February when the bottom three are like 12 points adrift or something.
I think everyone Brentford down. Brentford, Leeds, Newcastle, Everton, Norwich, Burnley,
Watford, if you didn't Watford. Say.
Those are all in it still, yes. In my opinion. 7 teams.
Palace, I'm sure, will be fine, but feel like they haven't won for quite a while.
7 teams is a third of the league, mate.
Yeah.
Could still go down. I think it's a decent number of teams to have in that relegation.
But
battle.
It might be, like, if Watford, Burnley and Norwich have a bad sort of 6-7 game weeks, then there's probably not a discussion and those 3 teams are going down. So I think there is a period, sort of February, March every year where the relegation battle does look really exciting. It often doesn't go to the final day, does it?
No. Lauren says, is this just recency bias or does it feel like one of the most exciting Premier League campaigns for a while? Literally every area of the table is up in the air. Relegation, top half finishes, European places, the title. But let's look at it, right? City are still cruising, regardless of the defeat at the weekend. Prior to that, they dropped 2 points out of 45.
But they're not cruising now, are they?
No, Liverpool's still close. Liverpool's still close, but I still think City are not like strenuously. It's not like the 99-98 points season or whatever it was where they're close as hell. It doesn't feel like that intensity. I still think City have it. The reason the top four race is so tight is because everyone's shit. So, yes, it's exciting, but the quality is shit.
But then it's interesting. No one goes today on
it's
Monday.
It's exciting, but the quality is shit.
No one goes, Tottenham, Arsenal, Wolves, Man United all won at the weekend. And it did, right? And some of them in difficult circumstances. Wolves at home to Leicester, not easy. United at Leeds, okay, yeah, you're always going to have chances, but they could have blown it. Tottenham, Man City is not easy, is it? But no one's saying this week, oh my God, the fight for the top four. Last week, it's all about the narrative of them kind of slipping over themselves. I think it's interesting to the extent that probably a month ago, most people were saying title was probably done. And if City had beat Tottenham and beat Southampton in between, then that's what people would be saying. Yeah, City have only failed to win 6 league games this season and failed to beat Tottenham or Southampton either time.
That's interesting. Laura's asking about the Kane celebration, but we'll talk about that on Tottenham tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Wednesday, Lauren.
The Kane Peter's, celebration?
The celebration when Kane scored. Your celebration when Kane scored.
Yeah.
Pillow's pen, for those of us with triple captain left, when do you envisage the next best time to use it?
I think it's either 28 or 29, subject to what you're doing. To be honest with you, I think Salah 29, Brighton away, Arsenal away, he's still absolutely fine. 28 is the real, if Norwich Chelsea goes in now, is the real outsider one, isn't it, on Chelsea?
Lewis Browning, do you read anything into Craig Pawson's reaction to Kane's goal? He was also on VAR when Newcastle had that penalty rejected against City. I mean, he did drop his head and...
Are you seeing it? Yeah.
Yes. It looked bad.
No, he does. But I also think he was probably standing there quite close to Guardiola and not expecting Guardiola to kind of slump. And I think his natural human instinct was... Sorry, mate.
Sorry, mate.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't read too much into that. What should
is
he
a City fan?
He can't be.
Why can't he not be?
Because he wouldn't be involved in the games. Simple as that.
Is that the rule?
Yeah,
if you support a club, you can't be part of the...
Yeah. So like Mark Clattenburg, you remember, right? He's a big Newcastle fan. Never refereed Newcastle.
Okay.
He probably wouldn't have refereed Sunderland either.
Yeah. Gary Shepherd, when will Wolves be in the conversation for Europe? 2 weeks ago now.
Apparently. Fuck me.
Mark Dorney, which city...
I'm pleased for you.
Mark Dorney says, which City midfielder would you prioritise?
Which City, as in FPL?
Yeah.
None of them. See, if you'd have said to me 3 or 4 days ago, I would have said to you, Riyad Mahrez right now. On. It's on. Not in the team at the weekend. So, guess away. I think at the value, Foden is probably still the best call. But Phil Foden did not play badly on Saturday, but he wasn't involved as much as you would hope at the top end, I don't think. And many of you might have seen the sort of clips that happened afterwards at the boxing and stuff, so that's going to bring attention on him. So, can I be honest with you? None. If I was free hitting this week, I would go Cancelo, and I would highly likely go Sterling. And I would, I think I would maybe still punt Mahrez. But in terms of buy, not interested.
Bradley Parker. Why is Kasper Schmeichel such a knobhead? What do you do in the Wolves Leicester game?
He's just, he is. Someone asked that the other week, didn't they?
Well, I was talking about, he was a bit grumpy in our game as well.
He is proper aggy.
I mean, when the chips are down and you're not playing well as a team, you need someone to G the team up and get everybody going. But he just, I'd never realised it.
How
annoying he is.
But I think we realised it since he made the comments before the Denmark-England game. We were a bit like, no, you don't do that. And I think we've been kind of targeting him probably without even realising it since. He's probably been aggy of having 15 years of every time he makes a save, people go, oh, just like his father. Probably has made him aggy for a really long time.
Yeah.
But he is. He does walk around like he's got a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. He should walk around and claim in his penalty area much better, as the advanced tier patrons will tell you. He's part of their. He's a big part of their problem at the moment. You know that? In terms of, having analysed it last week, he's a massive part of their problem at corners.
Gary Mantle, in case I don't make the cut on the main pod, you didn't. So lucky you're a patron. If you were on free hit 27, who would be your keeper and three defenders? Shit, must be getting serious if I'm asking FPL questions. Certainly, Gary.
Clearly going to discuss that in far more detail tomorrow. So we'll skip over that, Suj.
Paul Meehan. Who are some players you would prioritise on free hit this week? We are clearly
going to talk about that. You're not to know when you submitted the questions,
Paul,
in fairness.
Paul, to his credit, says, maybe I should have looked at Gary's question first. Lol. Yes, indeed. Drew Howard, do you think we'll hear anything about game week 28 doubles before the 27 deadline, which is the weekend, isn't it?
So the April TV television fixtures are due out today. I suspect they won't be. That's going to give us a real clear idea of possibilities, particularly for Sky Fantasy, for pretty much near enough the rest of the season by the kind of final game weeks. I know Mr. Krellin was saying to me last night on Twitter that he thought that a Chelsea-Arsenal announcement might come with it. I cannot understand, as I said to you all on Friday, the explanation behind no Chelsea game in 28 other than they are waiting to see what Leicester do in Europe. And if it's not Leicester, then it will be Arsenal. That's what maybe they're thinking. It's the only plausible explanation, unless they're doing what I think they're going to do, which is bring the Norwich game forward at 1 week's notice. Will we get to know by the week? We might know today. But do you know what? If it's going to be Chelsea-Arsenal, what's the deadline Friday? 6:30? I wouldn't be surprised if it's announced at 6:30.
Mad. Harry G. I've got a funny feeling Ranić takes Hasenhüttl to United in the summer after Saints have a good season. Wouldn't surprise me if he tried to take JWP there as well. Personally, I think they'd both be good for Manchester United. Any thoughts?
No, bad fit.
Because?
Bad fit because as much as there is a lot to admire about Southampton, We can already see with Ranić that they cannot, they do not have the personnel to play the style of football that really he would like to play. Ralf Hasenhüttl would find similar problems, and he would find the same problems that Pochettino had when he went to Tottenham in terms of he needed to get the players he didn't want in the squad out of the squad first before the team could start playing a certain way. And at Manchester United, that will be far harder, particularly because the salaries a lot of these players are on to make that happen within years, never mind months. So, no. There's also, from a United perspective point of view, as soon as he has a couple of bad results, it'll be, he's never won nothing, yada, yada, yada. No, it's not the right fit. Hasenhüttl would be probably a better follow-up for Klopp or something like that. But you know, honestly, I don't see him landing any of these top jobs. He gives out, he did an interview very recently, and he said, after the Southampton job, I'm done. Like, okay. He did clarify afterwards he didn't exactly say that, but I think he was asked about Roy Hodgson, and he was like, do you see yourself managing at that point of view? And he said, when I'm finished with this job, I'm done, basically. Mm. Which wasn't exactly what he meant, I don't think, but I don't think he's happy to make his coin now and go and enjoy the rest of his life at a sensible age by the sounds of it. But then a few of them say that, and they can't get rid of the bug, can they? Would have Ferguson first try and retire in, what, 2002 or something? 10 years later, he was still there.
Harbour Boy found a piece of paper in a box. It has 20 teams listed on it, and he wants to know, is it a list of all Premier League teams? Palace, Bolton, Coventry, Barnsley, Leeds, Southampton, Wednesday, Villa, Leicester, West Ham, Blackburn, Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, United, Liverpool, Spurs, Newcastle, Derby, Wimbledon. Sounds like a Premier League from 97-98, James.
To be honest, I stopped listening as soon as you said Barnsley. Someone's put it in the comments because there's no way you'd know that.
It's certainly true. Guess who put it in the comments?
Gary Shepherd.
No.
I've got to be Rob Pitt.
Yeah, of course it's got to be Rob Pitt. With Barnsley. That's exactly what it looks like there. Java, did you collect anything as a child? And do you remember, did you travel anywhere for it? The reason I ask is I collected Panini stickers, and that resulted in my one and only trip to Wembley in 1996 for sticker trading. I collected Panini stickers, but I didn't travel anywhere to swap them, do swapsies or anything. Playground, as far as I got.
Yeah, I used to do the old Panini stickers. Used to collect Conkers on the way home when I was very little. Mm. I mean, Mum used to take me when I was really little as well. We used to go to Burger King at Trafalgar Square, which is a fair old whack of a bus journey, I can tell you. But it was the closest one. I used to want the toys from Burger King.
More than McDonald's?
Yeah. I wasn't even bothered about it. I just wanted the toys from there.
Oh, bizarre. Rob Pick, he's on a free hit in 27. It's just an A or B, James, so we'll allow it as quick. Foden and Bruno Fernandes, or Sterling and Sancho? Sancho's getting a bit of form.
Do you know what? We should have spoke about him on the main pod today because he did play well yesterday. Was it Sancho and Sterling?
Sterling, Foden or Fernandes? He's trying to go with the alliteration.
I'd go with the Fernandes option.
Mm-hmm. Gary Shepherd, he seems to have an okay 11 for this week. So if he doesn't use a free hit, when would be another good alternative week to use it? He'll be bench boosting in 36. Well, obviously 30, depending on how the FA Cup quarters fall.
You've got 28 as an option because you've got six teams there, Dublin, who you're not going to have huge coverage from, or at least want huge coverage from long term. You can look at, okay, Newcastle, they've got back-to-back doubles. Great. They're 28 doubles better than their 29 doubles, worth saying. Leeds, okay, Rafinha. Wolves, okay, yep, defensively, maybe Raul Jimenez, maybe even Neto if he's fit as a shout. Villa, I don't suppose you're looking to buy their assets so much now, so maybe just for the double would be interesting. So I think 28, you could free hit into a really unique team. And then possibly have two other kind of power players with that, like Salah and Kane, for example. 29, obviously for struggling to say balance out 27, 29 because of Liverpool, Arsenal blanks and stuff. 29 is quite interesting. I want to say Chelsea got Brentford at home that week as well. It was a good fixture. 30, obvious, covered a blank. 33, he's not going to look the same in terms of doublers as game week 36, but it's all very subject to the FA Cup results again. And then maybe even another week that still lands like this 28 or 29. Again, very dependent on the cup results. But I would not expect another week, say 32, for example, or 34. I wouldn't expect either of them to be as big as 28 or 29. I mean, you're looking at max two doubles any other week, or 37, which particularly, if they don't sort the Chelsea problem out, right? I mean, if Chelsea specifically lost in the FA Cup semi-final, Chelsea could well have a treble game week in game week 37.
Rob Pick's got a very simple free hit move. Should he buy Kulusevski?
Very dependent on Wednesday night. I said on the pod earlier that I thought if he played sort of 75 plus against Burnley, I would say no. If it's less than that for whatever reason, I'm also a little bit conscious that I think Lucas Moura's direct dribbling could be particularly useful in that Leeds game. So it's a probable no.
So if you had to pick two midfielders from the same team for the free hit, two City,
yeah,
two United, or two Spurs?
Two City.
Sterling, Mahrez, Foden, KDB, two out of those two.
Yeah, but Bernardo I would, as well. That said, I would arguably rate Son and Fernandes above all of them.
Yep.
So you're going to struggle with that, aren't you? You're going to find it very difficult to have sort of De Bruyne, Sterling, Fernandes, Son, and Kane. I mean, it's not going to work, is it? So,
Adam wants to know if either of us enter the world of FPL analytics and use sites like FPL Review or FPL Optimized to confirm our transfer thinking, or just in general at all? No, is the honest answer. Simple as that. No.
No, I don't use any tools from a transfer perspective. I might look at something from a statistical perspective, but no, I'm literally zero interest in those sort of things. Not that they're not very useful and all that kind of stuff, but I can also, for my own self, look at a game week and go, I predict him to get this many points, and okay, their statistical model will be more accurate, but it doesn't take the emotion into understanding certain things on those models, i.e. Someone's changed manager or something like that, right? So, no, I don't use statistical models to make my transfer decisions.
Gary wants to know if we'll get the game week, if the FA Cup draw will be before game week 28 starts.
Yes.
Because the last quarterfinal is Monday the 7th, the Monday after all the midweek of the Premier League.
Wow, season. That's very true. However, I'm nearly certain
the draw will be on the Sunday.
Yeah, he's really what they've done there. They've put Forest and Huddersfield on the Monday, the week after. I don't know why they've done that, to be honest. But I'm fairly certain the draw will be either the Wednesday night or the Thursday night.
Okay. Gary, any captaincy preference this week? Fernandes, Kane, Sterling, all with good singles. Veghorst with a good double.
I think at the moment I'm going Harry, because I'm probably unlikely to have any Burnley. Okay. I would captain, at the moment, maybe ask me again after Wednesday, but at the moment I would captain Veghorst over Kane.
Atul wants to know, he just wanted to point out a fun stat. Tottenham have become just the fourth team to beat any Pep team home and away in the league after Chelsea, United and Wolves. Fantastic for Spurs to be in such a
league. Of course, Wolves, yeah. These lot are acting right weird at the moment. Right needy bunch they've become.
Jarvo, FPL question. Is Veghorst the best captaincy for 27? Yeah, probably. Possibly. Worth a go.
It's definitely going to have some momentum, that.
Jarvo hasn't got any coverage on Thursday night for Sky. First Sky question of the show, James. Top three in order, Arsenal and Wolves.
Just for the one game?
Well, yeah. Well, no, because you're going to hold them for a while, aren't you?
Still makes more sense to buy a Wolves player.
Yeah.
But the best choice, in my opinion, is Gabriel.
Baz, are there any obvious disadvantages to a game week 28 free hit? I'm looking at my squad at the minute and it seems a viable option. I have two free hits and a wild card left. Why would you not want a free hit in 28?
Because you might have good balance already and you may have no interest in these teams with doubles. So in 28, you've got City at home to United. So it's bad for, like, if you're sitting number three United, that's a great reason to want to do it. City at home to United, are you bothered? No, there's nothing to scare there. Liverpool home to West Ham. I mean, just any Liverpool home game against anyone is absolutely fine for Liverpool. Chelsea was talking about possible double. That's a good reason to want to do it. But then if Chelsea have a double, we might be just steaming into Chelsea players anyway. Like I said, like it's Brentford at home in 29 afterwards and stuff. Spurs, or is it 28 you say? Spurs got Everton at home. It's a good fixture. So I'm looking at it like that and going, I've got decent balance already in 28. I mean, what am I going to do in 28? For me, if I free hit in 28, what am I going to do? I take Cancelo out, home to Man United. I'm going to take out Salah and Trent because they ain't got doubles. And I take out Kane with all these, all at home, all good fixtures. I don't think I am. I think I've got decent balance that week anyway.
Let's go with the last question of the show. We've kind of sort of already answered, James. We're from Sam O'Sullivan. He's got one free hit booked for game week 30. He wants to know the optimum time to use the other one. He can field 11 this week without transfers. 27's off the table.
I can't give you the answer. I can only tell you that at the moment my plan is to go for free hit for game week 33. But it could be that 28's absolutely fine for you. Obviously, if you're using 30, it rules out 29. So you can plan your ideas towards game week 29 and free hit 28. Chances are that's the best way of doing it. Obviously, if you're at bench boost, game week 36 kind of gets added to the table as well. So that, I can only tell you that at the moment my idea is game week 33, but I'm absolutely not wed to that. I genuinely think that I could, in the run-up to game week 28, I could be in a position where I'm rolling a transfer. And then the cup results might put me in a position where I'm wildcarding, free hitting, I'm doing loads of different things possibly.
Yeah.
So I'm not wed to any particular strategy on free hits. Ideally, if it goes the way I think it's going to go, 30 and 33.
Okay. That's all the questions that we've had in, patrons. Hope you enjoy the Q&A today. If you are coming out into London on Saturday, check your email if you're coming to Monopoly, because some more information there to follow. And we'll post the location of the pub meetup in off Tottenham Court Road, kind of on Tottenham Court Road.
What's the name of the pub?
Fitzrovia Bell, B-E-L-L-E. Fitzrovia
Bell.
Yeah, it's on Tottenham Court Road. You'll find it. We'll be there from 4:30 onwards for the late kickoff as well. Other than that, thank you for your questions. If you don't know where to post them, go over to Slack. Pod Questions is the channel, and whack them in there. And we'll answer them all next Monday, as always. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.